Here's the news in 60 seconds from HumanDailyNews.com. Congress has been holding a hearing focused on finding solutions to stop gun violence. This conversation comes months following the deadly school shooting in Uvalde, Texas. Arizona Republican Congressman Andy Biggs says the Dems' gun control proposal will do nothing to stop gun violence.
Nearly a quarter of children in the United States live with only one parent. That is also more than any other country on the planet and has a direct correlation to all the violence in our society.
According to a recent study, nearly one quarter of all American adults have been caring for elderly parents while having young children. This is called the sandwich effect. Researchers have found this to be a struggle with money problems, emotional trouble, and exhaustion. The annual Tamale Festival in Summerton is back. The all-day event features music, cultural dances, and a variety of tamales. Arizona Republican Governor Doug Ducey has been sued by the U.S. government for the placement of shipping containers as a barrier on the Arizona-Mexican border. The feds say the shipping containers are trespassing on federal lands. That's the latest from HumanDailyNews.com newsroom. I'm Kendra White.
Partly sunny skies today, breezy and again unseasonably cool. Temperatures again below average, even colder air in for Saturday and then a little milder Sunday, but still below average to finish the weekend. Low 60s this afternoon, north winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Fair to partly cloudy skies overnight tonight. Lower 40s. Mix of clouds and sunshine Saturday. It'll be colder tomorrow with highs only in the upper 50s, about 10 degrees below average. Milder Sunday, but again, still below average. Mix of clouds and sun mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone at the Weather Channel.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
And you better watch out, you better not cry.
Good morning, everyone. Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here on Money Talk. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning.
Hey, you better watch out. I noticed you played something that was a little bit less energetic to start.
I had the wrong screen up, and then all of a sudden, it was like, uh-oh.
Ready to go back to sleep or something right now. But you redeemed yourself. You got some Christmas music, and you got the boss.
All you can handle.
So what do you have going this week and next week before Christmas?
I've got a company Christmas party tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow morning, I'm going to MC the event for Wreaths Across America, and we're going to lay wreaths at the gravesite here in Yuma at 9 o'clock, and then we're going to go out to the foothills and do it at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
That is a great thing.
Yeah. Other than that, just... Kids and
grandkids and
taking care of stuff. Yeah, I don't have any scheduled events.
Okay, now here we are, the Christmas season, and clearly, my business and expertise is financing and getting into homes and things like that. But Christmas is that time of year that we go out and shop for people, and this is the time of year that I see credit card balances exploding.
Yeah.
And, the one thing I hope we can talk about this year is if you talk about five love languages, I'm the gift guy. I love gifts. I love words of affirmation. So those are my two. I don't know what you are. What are you?
For gifts?
No. I'm not. Have you ever read the book, The Five Love Languages?
Nope.
Okay. Well, then you suck.
but unfortunately, you're not the first guy in here to say
but,
that.
But you talk about gifting, and we've gotten to the point, at least what I see on people's credit card balances, is we shop and shop and shop, and we buy super big expensive things. And there's a great book that I would challenge you to read. It's called Giftology by John Rulin. Have you ever read that one?
No.
Okay. Read that. But he three simple things. First and foremost, he talks about get somebody best in class, not necessarily the most expensive or the best you can get. Meaning, like, let's say, and you were part of a big company a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
If you were going to go make a presentation to a lot of CEO level people.
I've done it.
Would you go, as a thank you gift, go buy them a $100 Fossil watch?
No.
No. Why?
Because I don't have $100.
Well,
no, but it would not be something that would be well received.
Because they're typically wearing something.
Rolexes,
yeah. Hublot, something and much
they,
more expensive.
They have a watch, yeah.
So you see a lot of people who, I'm going to go buy somebody a really nice watch and I got to go get them this. But it, A, isn't to the level of what that person might already have.
Right.
And B, it gets lost in the noise. And so John, in his book, talks about he did that one time. He went out and bought some CEO level people that he was meeting, you know, a watch, but it wasn't to the caliber that they thought of. And so it got lost in the noise. And that's kind of where he came up with the, and this is what I hope I do this year for Christmas. I hope you do. And I hope everybody who's listening, buy somebody something that is best in class, not necessarily the super most expensive. So do you like a coffee cup? Do you drink coffee?
I do drink coffee.
So if I went out and bought you a $50 coffee mug that was a really nice coffee mug and it may be engraved with your name or your company logo on it, would that be a well-received gift?
I would guess so, yes.
Okay. Now, would if I went out and bought you, let's say...
Styrofoam cup?
Yeah. Well, no. But I mean, there's a lot of gifts that I'm sure you could get that really wouldn't make a difference to you based on your lifestyle or, you know... If I got you some in-car air fresheners, would you use them right now, given you love to ride an electric bike?
Probably wouldn't work.
So the old lambskin, you know, sheepskin seat covers, you probably wouldn't dig either. So again, he talks about gifting, and some of it is you don't even have to go down the road of a super expensive gift. It could be a very well-written, handwritten card.
Correct. Something that fits the individual, too. You know, you don't get steak tenderizer for a vegan.
Well, that would be inappropriate. but you're right. I look at myself and I think of how many times did I give gifts that wasn't even right for that person, but it made me feel good.
But there's
been
studies many times before on spouses. We get our spouse what we want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We don't think about them.
Absolutely. I mean,
you get your wife a hand drill, then you know you're a little off the mark.
That would be interesting. Actually, funny story, super funny story. So we went to church one time with my mom, and it's probably been, I don't know, 20 years ago. And for quite some time, we had talked about, man, I really want a nice waffle iron, you know, something where I can make waffles with the kids. Uh-huh. And that was a conversation throughout the summer one year. And we went to Christmas Eve service, and the preacher there started talking about, well, you know, gifts don't come with electric cords. A gift shouldn't be something you plug in. It should be something from the heart. And, you know, kind of what John was talking about, a well-written card.
Well, how can he be so specific?
I don't know. But what was super funny is Christmas morning, I'm opening my gifts, and I got a waffle iron
with
an electric cord on it.
It wasn't from the heart.
Oh, it wasn't from the heart.
But of course it was.
At least the minister didn't think it was from the heart.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about the gifts, and sometimes we really need to get back to, and I'm personally, I love to go shop and get a gift, and it always frustrates me when I hear people say things like, man, I just don't know what to get that person. I'm like, hey, dummy, go get something. But The switch.
Oh, I'm a good one for saying I don't know what to get them.
But see, the switch is that means you genuinely are trying to figure out what that person wants.
Correct.
As opposed to, oh, this is something cool. So John talks about that in his book and really tried to change some of my thought processes. Pick up Giftology. It's super easy read. I mean, Russ, I know you don't read much, but you could probably burn through that.
I don't know what I can read.
you know, get on Audible, listen to it. But, you know, you talk about handwritten cards, you talk about best in class, and it doesn't need to be expensive. It just needs to be meaningful to that person.
Well, look, and you know, I have a close personal friend that happens to be so wealthy, I could never afford to buy him anything that would be useful to him. Because I don't know his lifestyle completely anyway. You know, I mean, I know him to the work, but he's a guy that literally, you know, has enough money, could buy anything on this planet he wants, and probably does.
Probably.
But I still send him gifts. But what do you think I could send a guy that has everything, that is literally, you know, Rockefeller rich?
I would be thinking you would send frozen chili pepper or stuff from the peanut patch.
You're on the right track, but I sent him a one of those ball and chains from Yuma.
Oh.
From the Yuma prison. Because, you know, you just don't run into those every day.
No, you don't. Was it a real one? Did you?
It was a reproduction, but it was reproduction accurate to an original.
Okay, so heavy as all get out.
20 pounds.
Okay, what'd that cost to ship?
Like $60. I don't know. It was a lot of money.
So was it
a lot
more,
of money for me?
More to ship than the actual ball and chain? Or probably 50-50?
The ball and chain was like over 100. So. Okay. But it was something that I'd had for a little while, and I saw it sitting in the house, and I said, I'm going to send it to him.
Oh, you regifted. You did not.
No, it wasn't a regift. It's something I bought for myself
years
ago. And I didn't have a place or a need for it as much, but it's such a cool artifact. I thought, this guy would love that.
And did he get it yet?
Yeah, he has it.
I was hoping you didn't spoil Christmas.
He built a case for it in his office. It's more money than what it's worth.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, here's what we need. We need to start a pool. We all need to buy Russ Clark another ball and chain and weld it to his bike so
there
you're carrying around another 20 pounds
of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But, you know, talking about gifting with the holidays.
But that's something unique and something different that, you know, a guy that has money. I could never buy him a watch. If he wanted a watch, it would be out of my league.
And I'm going to say, ironically, I think the point that I took out of John's book is most people aren't trying to,
no.
They don't want the big gift.
They just
want
something
noticed. Meaningful.
They
want
to be known, you know, that you cared enough. Who's big on writing personal letters? George Braun, that's on the show.
Is he really?
Oh, yeah. When we have guests
I've never gotten one from George.
Well, he doesn't like you.
No, that's
probably
true.
But when he's on the show and we have guests that he's invited that comes on, he will send them a personal thank you note and a copy of the show.
That's fantastic.
Isn't that great? That's George. That's who George is.
Now, do you send personal notes?
No, not often.
Okay. When
it's usually a text, that's not personal.
If you, 100%, but it's easy and it's.
Yeah, I'll send a text. But to be George, I think that's rare.
So what was the last handwritten card you received?
Oh, I know I've received some in the last
few weeks.
I know
you've received one. You don't have to be defensive.
No,
in the last week
I have. I mostly Christmas stuff now.
No. Toss out the Christmas card that was just signed, a handwritten card or letter that was meaningful.
I'd be hard pressed to tell you. I can't think of one right now.
And going back to where, you know, I started is I've received probably 5 that I can remember, maybe 6 handwritten thank you cards or handwritten letters this year. And the one that is the most meaningful was a single mom with 3 kids who, it was an emotional roller coaster getting her into a house. But, you know, look, you don't have to get me a plant. You don't have to give me a box of chocolates. You don't have to give me a cup. You don't have to get me anything. That thank you letter from her means a lot because that means she and her kids are in a house and they're taken care of. You know what I mean? And so that,
Was it mailed? I was looking for one, but I can't find one.
He's breaking out the photos.
Somebody sent me photos, but no.
Hey, good thing this is radio. I don't know that you want to show some of those on air.
No, just photos with Mel and everything in it. Somebody sent me photos, but...
But that's super cool. So that's not a million-dollar gift, but
no,
it's
nice.
Meaningful,
it was
relational gift.
And I thought maybe I had some handwritten ones in there, but I didn't see them off the top. But.
So Christmas for me, when I start looking at credit reports, and you can go dig through the data of the finances in this country... Credit card balances are going up,
yes.
And we don't need to do that just to impress people on Christmas. This could be the year. And ironically, we're going to do our company Christmas party tonight. And I actually told everybody we're not.
I didn't get the memo.
Well, you're not part of my company.
Oh, darn, that's
right. You don't even come over to my podcast room. I keep inviting you to come on the.
What is the date again?
It's Tuesdays. We're Tuesday. Have you ever read the book Tuesdays with Maury?
No.
Oh my goodness!
Well, you keep.
I'm getting you 2 books for Christmas this year. So, but go back to the company Christmas party. I actually told everybody stop. We're not going to do the Secret Santa this year. And I know that may be counterintuitive to everybody, and you love playing that game. But while we're spending time together, we don't need to go spend more money on gifts.
No.
It's let's. Have a great meal together and let's spend some time together and relate stories and let our kids play and things like that. And I think you go back to the movie The Grinch, and I know there's been many renditions of that.
I know the movie.
So you know the movie. You know, and how often do you feel like that? Because again, you're a student of...
What, that I'm the mean one?
No. When you go out and about, do you not just feel like there's just... It's shopping to shop, and it's, you know, a flurry of activity.
Of course. I'm not that guy now. I mean, I really don't shop to shop. I'm a typical guy that if I want something, I say, okay, I got to go get some razors or something, but that's it.
You leave the house. But when you drive around for the holiday season, and I love the Christmas decorations. I love Christmas. I mean, yeah. this is the time of year I love. But we got to get back to being just more relational.
But you know, yes. I do like when I have gone shopping for even work stuff, because I'm usually going to pick up things for the office or whatever. There's a fun atmosphere and attitude out there of people upbeat looking for things for Johnny or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of fun. It's a fun season.
When you're picking stuff up, can you pick up some water and soda for our party? Can
no,
you deliver that?
I'm not invited, I found out.
Oh, come on. So as you are out there, you know, again, what I want everybody from my perspective is, please don't go into credit card debt just to get trinkets that people may or may not need. If it's something that winds up in a drawer,
you know,
no.
I've talked about it on the show before, but, you know, I have grandkids. And I know,
and you're old.
Yeah, I know, really old. But anyway, the for the birthdays, for my grandkids' birthdays and Christmas and everything else, I generally get them nothing. They're not very old, and there's so many people buying outrageous stuff for them. It doesn't matter. I'm just there to help them put it together.
Wasn't that a song? I'm getting nothing for Christmas.
Yeah, two front teeth or something.
Okay, something like that.
But it's they're already overwhelmed with everything.
Yeah.
I just don't add to it. And I know some of them look at me like, you know, you're an evil man or whatever.
You're the Grinch.
Yeah, but I'm the Grinch. But a couple of weeks ago, I bought my granddaughter a bicycle. It's not that I'm not going to take care of needs and wants and whatever like that, but I don't feel compelled. Like, I've got to put something up in the tree to feel complete.
Yeah. And that's where you spend time with them, though.
Every day.
And so
I sing to them, and it's really horrible.
Oof.
But at least
please don't do that while we're on air.
They know they don't want to be a singer at this point.
Well, you never know. Maybe they want to be a singer to be much better than Grandpa ever was, for crying out loud. So, you know, again, a moral of the story for me, go read the book Giftology. Great book. I can't recommend that enough.
Get the right gift. And there's a lot of pressure sometimes to spend a certain amount.
Oh, so absolutely.
To get the right gift. I don't want to be seen as cheap. Well, I am cheap.
You are
I just am.
So again, you know, as we go down this road with Christmas, you know, what a great season, though.
It's wonderful.
And you're wearing...
I got to tell you something. I'm wearing layers. Everything that's warm I put on. Something that, you know, riding the bike, and you mentioned earlier, and I've been doing it now for a couple months. The Christmas lights that are up, you don't really see them from your car like I see them. But I told my daughter, and I've got two bikes, actually, you know, two e-bikes.
You're going biking Christmas Eve?
Well, we're going to be doing it sooner than that. But and I've also got one of those little two-wheel things to haul the kids around. But we need to do it in the evening through the communities that have lights up. It's just,
yeah,
it's a slow pace that's just bright, not looking through the car windows.
And don't do it Christmas Eve, because there's going to be
crazies,
tons of cars on the road.
Yeah, well, and I'm very safe about that. I mean, I'm a guy that gets off the road, and my bicycles, I have lights, and all the tires have lights, and I've got lights strung all over it. It's got headlights, tail lights. I have a light on my helmet. Are going to see me.
Did you put your bikes in the electric light parade?
They were scheduled to go in the bikes. I didn't in there. I didn't feel well, so I didn't show.
Well, and for everybody's benefit, you still have the helmet with the Minions light on top that spins.
Safety is just number one on my list. Safety's number two, three.
And that it should be. Should be.
I want to be seen.
But again, I was pointing to your zip up here. You know, the Midnight at the Oasis zip up from the Caballeros.
It's a nice one.
But we just did the tower lighting.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, the season of We get to live in the United States. We get to do the things that we want. We can be the people we want to be. We can light up a tower for Christmas and celebrate with the community. You don't have to spend a lot of money. The tower lighting, what did it cost to get in? Can of food?
And then they're not going to beat you up
come
if you
out
don't
and
have it.
But, yeah. Have some hot chocolate. And, you know, the things that are memorable don't cost a lot of money. And sometimes the things that we stress about, oh, I got to get the right gift and the most expensive gift. No, you know what? I would appreciate one more handwritten letter from my mom.
Yeah.
Who's not here anymore.
Right.
I would appreciate one more handwritten letter from my grandparents to explain how life was and learn one more lesson from them. And I know that, you know, every 10-year-old kid wants a bike under the tree and a TV, but you know, you think, what would you give for another letter or journal from your grandparents
to teach you another lesson back?
Yeah. So, you know, Christmas, we've got a ton of stuff coming up. There's things to do all over the community. I would love to be a part of that Wreaths Across America. Tell me more about that.
Well, it's going to be 9 o'clock in the morning over at Desert Lawn, and the ceremony is really well orchestrated with the military. Military is going to be out there too, and there's going to be a wreath dedicated to every branch of military, and there'll be military people, you know, that handle that part of that, you know, that presentation. But there'll be Josh Pendleton will be speaking. You know, he's a Green Beret veteran, as well as at the an explanation of what we're doing there, and that's to honor every veteran. Every grave has already been marked right now. The veteran, they put a little piece of green paint or something on each one of them, so it's they're not messed, that every one of them is going to be spoken for. And then there's going to be thousands of wreaths handed to these volunteers that have to go up to the grave, say the name out loud, place the name, and say the name again and thank them for their sacrifice to the country so that we can do what we do. And it's a wonderful uplifting between the mayor will probably give a proclamation and stuff like that. And that kind of stuff. I mean, it's not a lot of speeches. It's not going to hold you up an hour or anything like that. But everyone's going to be recognized.
And I would assume a great thing to take your kids to.
Absolutely.
Teach your kids and your grandkids.
And they can get involved in helping lay a wreath for a service member that sacrificed his life or lost his life during the one.
Were you out there last year as well?
Yeah, I emceed it last year.
Okay.
And they invited me back, which is a good sign.
That is impressive. You know, one time they might go, geez, we don't want this guy back again.
That's exactly
right. So, you know, I know, love this time of season, love this time of year. We got way more to talk about after the break.
Sure.
So let's take a break here and we will come back. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they manage money for their clients differently from any other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
Merry Christmas, baby. Oh, you should to treat me right. Oh, Merry Christmas, baby. Oh, you should to treat me right.
Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk AM 560 KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Russ Clark in studio. You have good taste in music now.
Yeah, now. You know, I can't play it on my show anymore.
Why not?
Well, because I'm broadcasting simultaneously through social media.
Okay.
And it's copyrighted.
Oh.
So
you, what you're saying is you actually don't have a broad reach with this show, so you can do whatever you want.
Well, legally, I'm allowed to play because we are a radio station.
Okay.
But social media doesn't know that. So they will ding me.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I don't know how to get around that.
Well, just call up Elon and see if he can get that unbanned and unblocked for you.
No.
All right. So, you know, one of the things we're talking about, hey, it is the season. This was the season this week. What was released this week and what was raised this week?
Interest rates?
So Bureau of Labor and Statistics put out the inflation numbers. Fed then reacted and did what yesterday?
I don't know. How much was it? 0.5 or 0.75?
0.5.
0.5? So okay, that was the...
half a point increase.
That's what I thought.
And that's kind of what was expected.
Yeah.
And we talk about adjectives and adverbs coloring the story.
Yeah.
You know, they slowed the pace of increases. Doesn't that mean they still increased it?
0.5 is still a big kick in the butt.
Yeah, but... when I hear people say, oh, they slowed the pace of the increases. Wait a minute. If you're going 35 miles an hour you continue speeding up, you're still going faster.
Before they write the story, they look over their shoulder to see who's in the White House.
Sure.
And then it's all going to be colored to either support or not support that person.
So we saw the Fed funds rate raised another half a point because their target is between...
Hey, and how many times have they done it this year? Five, four?
Mm-hmm. Five? Yeah, well, we're now sitting...
You're talking about a half a point of time? I mean, that's outrageous money.
We're at 4.25. The target is 4.25 to 4.5 at this point. For the Fed funds rate, what that means to you and I as a consumer is not a whole lot because that's the rate at which banks borrow money from each other.
Which it was zero for years.
And they held it at zero. And if the inflation rate is at 7, if you're a bank, do you want to out-earn the inflation rate? The answer is yes, because you're not going to stay in business very long if you can't out-earn the inflation rate. Yeah. You look at this 37-page report, and the Bureau of Labor and Statistics puts this out monthly. Have you ever actually read through one of these reports?
No.
Did you know they exist?
Yes.
Okay. So there is some commentary, and it talks about what the inflation rate is for this last month. But they also go back down and they break out everything in a table line by line by line. So did you know, I'm going to ask you, from November of 21 to November of 22, what do you think the unadjusted percentage change in cookies was?
Cookies?
Cookies. Because they literally, just like literally everything cookies. Is broken. Yeah, I'm telling
okay.
you.
Okay, I would say 10%.
Nope. Nearly double that. 19.2% is the inflation rate on cookies since November 21 to November of 22.
Some cookie mogul's getting rich.
If I said, all right, let's talk about cereals and bakery products.
Again, 15.
16.6.
Okay. That was a guess, though.
Now, are food items in the inflation rate as published?
No.
Oh.
Because it's too volatile, too high, and it would make us look bad.
So, it used to be, and that's where I'm always intrigued by how we change statistics to change a narrative.
Yes.
If you go back into the Carter administration days when the inflation rates were double digit.
15-16%.
Was food and energy part of those inflation
yes.
rates? Yes. So now we say, oh my gosh, you know, 7.1 is the number that was just put out. So it's only half as bad as what it was in the Carter administration.
That's what it would have been in Carter, the same number.
And I'm telling you, when I go to the store and I buy my Chips Ahoy cookies, which I love dunking
Chips
in milk,
Ahoy.
They're 19.2% more expensive.
They feel more expensive than that. So a lot of things I see, but they used to be 50 cents or 75 cents. Now that's not 15.
But the irony is the cookies are smaller now too.
Yes.
So, you know, the manufacturers, whether it's them or anybody, we figured out that, like, do you remember when you used to go to the store to buy a gallon of ice cream?
Yeah. No, they're not. Very rarely. Bluebell still does gallons. That's
okay.
about it.
But when you walk down the aisle, they're not even half gallons anymore.
No.
The half gallons have been shrank. So some of it is the price goes up, but we don't realize it's the price per quantity has gone up a lot because the packages have gotten smaller.
They keep getting smaller, yeah. But it's easier to carry on the plus side.
Yeah. You know, God bless her, my mom could eat a gallon of ice cream in a sitting, and she would watch the shows Friends or Wings, and she would just...
A whole gallon.
Well, it is good.
But
then it got to a half a gallon, then it got to one of the larger pints because that's how they sold her favorite ice cream. So, you know, you go back down crackers, breads, cracker products, 19.9%. I'm sorry, if you're a family home with your kids,
mm-hmm.
are you buying food or are you buying another stick of lumber or another?
That's a fair question. It's a right question, but that doesn't matter because these numbers that we've been shoved down our throats are based to politically help or hurt somebody.
So that's, go back to first segment talking about please don't ruin your credit card balances and leave yourself some room. Dairy products. What do you think dairy products are up in the last 12 months?
Oh, they've got to be 20%.
22.4%.
Yeah.
And again,
that doesn't include eggs. Eggs are much higher than that.
And for anybody who wants to get this, go right on Google, news release, Bureau of Labor and Statistics. These are put out each and every month. This one is listed as USDL-22-2304.
People are not outraged about it because we keep soft selling it through the news. Like, it's not that bad, not that bad, not that bad. But if somebody come and whack 20% off your paycheck, they would be screaming bloody murder.
They would be screaming bloody murder.
But
and
they're doing essentially the same thing.
You go back down the road. Here's the other one that I wanted to compare. So floor coverings. What do you think floor coverings have gone up?
Man, I don't bite that off. 10%.
You're dead on 10.2.
Yeah.
So floor coverings are up 10%, which would that be included in the general inflation numbers? Oh, so that 10% to get new carpet, linoleum, tile, whatever.
But not the essentials.
But not the 22% for dairy products.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure I might need new flooring every 5 to 10 years.
Well, not right now because it's tight, so we're going to put that off.
Yeah, but you don't need that every...
That's what's keeping flooring down, by the way. We're buying less of it, too.
We're buying less of it. Well, and the irony is when everybody asks me, and I don't have a crystal ball, but I think I've got a good vantage point. Do you see house prices going down significantly here in Arizona, Russ?
No.
Okay. Why do you not believe that? And then I'll tell you why I agree with you.
We still have an increase in population. We still have people moving here for more favorable circumstances than they do in cities that are completely upside down, either with high crime, high inflation, high taxes, those kinds of things.
And there's two things I would love to point to people because and you look around Yuma. There's building going on everywhere.
Yeah.
There's road construction everywhere. Yeah. Now go into Phoenix, right outside Buckeye. What is the Howard Hughes Corporation putting in just outside of Buckeye where the 10 meets the...
Is that the chip thing?
No. It's a 100,000 home master planned community.
Oh, no, I did not know that. That's what it was.
100,000 homes that the Howard Hughes Corporation is putting in. What is going in down in Apache Junction?
100,000 houses.
Not that many. It's about
30,000
homes down in a joint master planned area down there. So you look at what, and it's not going to be tomorrow. They can't build them that fast. But between just those two entities, you're talking about 130,000 homes planned here in Arizona. Now, what's the average number of people living in a home?
Four.
Okay. Let's go five.
Five. Okay. So, I'm uncomfortable with five, but okay.
Well, let's go four then.
I'm gonna
give you four, and I know why, because you think the math is easier. What's 130,000 homes times four?
I don't know.
520,000 people.
Okay.
So there's two entities are planning on another 500,000 people residing here in Arizona. You don't build a 100,000 person master plan community if you don't think the population is going to increase.
Right.
And so you hit the nail on the head is if you have places like California, New York that people are moving out of, and you can tell that because they lost congressional seats, there is population migration. And you see the demand that's going to be on homes. There may be a downturn, is a demand briefly. You know, interest rates went up. It scared the living snots out of people. They don't want
to
buy just yet.
To it, we kind of relax.
No, it's exactly that. It's, hey, if the swimming pool is cold.
We could just go in slower.
You just go in slower and you fight it and you get acclimated. But, you know, at some point, you're acclimated. And I think we're all starting to get acclimated to, hey, interest rates. The days of having a 2 and 3 ever again, goodbye.
Unless there's an near-term period, it's not going to happen.
Artificial prop up by the federal government purchasing mortgage-backed securities. Without that happening, the market is not going to the high 2s and the low 3s again.
No.
Are we going to see interest rates get slightly better middle of next year, next year?
I don't know.
Well, we've gotten a little better, not much. It's pennies on the dollar.
I think it's an artificial prop up,
sure,
too. I do. I don't believe it because I know what the real inflation numbers are, and it's not 7.7.
No.
Double digits.
But that's the old Alan Greenspan irrational exuberance. This is an emotional response that the market has based on data that may not be complete.
It's not complete. And we're looking at it saying, well, it's going to be an easier recession than people think. No, I don't believe it because none of the numbers are showing that. I mean, businesses are still laying off. People are still cutting back. I mean, we need to be careful out there.
And there are more layoffs coming and there's more cuts coming because you know, for those that went through...
That doesn't tell me it's a soft landing.
Mm-mm. It may be a soft landing for the people that still have a job, but to the one person who lost their job, it's not a soft landing.
Yeah,
it's...
But don't overdo your credit right now. Don't put yourself in a bind to be upside down.
No, and that's why, you know, I love Christmas and I love gifting. I love gifting. I love receiving. Yeah. But I would be just as happy with a handwritten card and you know, meaningful things because... Next week, next month, next year, next quarter, I want people to have A, room on their credit cards just in case bad things happen, but B...
Yeah, you may get a flat tire or the water heater goes out or something. Don't push yourself.
No, and weird. That happens.
It does.
Okay, if you were going to advise a young person, they bought a home, let's pretend the home is $250,000 purchase price. What do you think a good number for estimating repair and maintenance and upkeep on the home is?
$150 a month.
So you're talking $1,800 a year. So about 0.75%. Pretty good. I can do that in my head, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good number. I typically tell people budget up to 1% of the purchase price as monies you're going to put back into the home, whether it's light bulbs and AC filters or that water heater.
Yeah, something breaks. It all breaks. And you gotta kind of get ready for the big one. Sometimes it's a $5,000 air conditioner.
Guess what? If I go back through all the budgets I've ever looked at, the people who start to learn on budgets, what's the number one thing that is never on anybody's budget?
Maintenance.
Repair and maintenance.
Yep.
Never is.
Well, and I had that some conversation with someone that had a car. You know, it was going to buy a car, you know, a young person going to buy a car. Well, I can afford this. And I said, well,
no,
then,
you can't.
Well, I didn't sell them that like that. I said, well, good. Then you're also going to afford the maintenance, and that's going to cost you about $100 a month on average. So you can start reserving that at the same time.
And what'd they say?
What do you mean? it wasn't even in anything they understood. Like, what do you mean maintenance and stuff? Well, like tires go bad occasionally. Oh yeah. But they didn't think about getting ready for it. You take care of that when it happens. You go to a GoFundMe page. Like, grandma, I'm out of money. GoFundMe.
but those kind of
Instead
things.
Of planning.
We don't plan for it, or a lot of people don't plan for it for their cars, their houses, whatever it is. And you look around homes.
I see cars that come in, the tires are 12 years old, but they say the tread's good. And I said, yeah, but it's dry rotted.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, tires
Would you like to drive that at 80 miles an hour on the way to 75, sorry.
I wouldn't even want to be next to it, let alone in it.
But you know that we are all day long.
I mean, there's a good chance you'll make it, but probably only 5% you're going to crash and die in a fiery death.
But aren't we supposed to drive those even more so you keep the oils warmed up and it doesn't dry rot as much?
The tire?
You're supposed to drive
it's going
right?
to wear out.
Okay.
And not only that, if you drive more, the tread goes down. Then it's obvious.
Well, so you're going to get me either way.
Yeah, either way, we're buying a new tire.
Dang it.
They're only going to last so long. 7 years or so is about it for a tire. That's it. And people don't think about that. They think, well, I got the car.
But whether it's tires, oil, could be just routine maintenance. Light bulbs go
Something
out, for crying out loud.
Break sometimes. You know, we flipped the light on and we broke the knob. You know, just little things.
Do you remember the movie Strange Brew?
Yes, sounds familiar.
Remember when their trade sarcastic comment was, "You knob, eh?" Oh, so, you know, that's a great Christmas movie. That's almost right up there.
It is a great Christmas movie. I like that. I like Scrooged is my favorite.
Scrooged is good.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your favorite one. Why?
Well, because it's funny. It's comedy. It's still a lesson learned. And I know most of the women in my life would go, you know, for the more tear-jerking ones, you know.
Like, It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go. Okay. That's the number one.
What?
Yeah, just say it right out loud.
For anybody who's not, his face winced and his eyes, like, gritted.
Well, it's a wonderful movie. I just don't want to see it for the 100th time.
Oh, come on.
I'll watch it again.
All right, so... you know what? I think we have to call your daughter and schedule a time that you, your daughter, and your grandkids watch It's a Wonderful Life.
You know,
it's such a wonderful life. You're going to prompt me with a break because I can see your itchy trigger finger over here. So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get Russ Clark watching It's a Wonderful Life. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Greeting cards have all been sent. The Christmas rush is through. But I still have one wish to make, a special one for you. Merry Christmas, darling.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, is an equal housing lender. NMLS number 3113, Arizona BK 0904081, LO number 0915245.
In Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. Many advisors sell and buy investments that charge clients commissions on each transaction and make commissions when they make trades for their clients. Yuma Investment Group doesn't sell any commission investment products. They never earn commissions on trades. They have trading discretion on your accounts, so they're able to manage accounts on a daily basis without having to pick up the phone to get permission to buy or sell an investment. Yuma Investment Group fees are structured, so they do better when their clients do better. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. If you're retiring soon or need help with your portfolio, visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com to find out why investors like you switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
You know what? You've got good taste in music. I don't care what anybody else says, yeah, Russ.
That's right. Don't listen to them.
I generally don't. Okay. Sometimes I don't listen to you either, but that's fine. Okay, favorite Christmas songs. What are your favorite 1, 2, 3 Christmas songs?
You know, I think it was John Lennon, So This Is Christmas type song.
Okay.
Was always my favorite. I was just a big John Lennon fan, and it was just a purist. But then after that, it would be The Boss, Santa Claus Coming to Town, those kind of things. I like the more rock song.
A little more upbeat. Got it.
Yeah, those.
Okay. You know, you played Nat King Cole. That's one of my favorites. You know, any of the Michael Bublé Christmas album, that's great. My staff wants to throw my computer out the window right now because I've had that playing for the last couple of weeks in the office. But, you know, again, I'm appreciative of the holiday season because we get to slow down a little bit and say, hey.
That's why I do the bicycle. Slow down.
No, that's not why you did the bicycle.
No, but I found out the advantages of it.
The advantage is you're a little healthier. You're losing a little weight.
A little bit.
Your cheeks are windburn. You can tell there's some windburn and cold there.
But the riding around looking at the lights and all the work that people are putting into the yards, it just brings a smile to my face. It does. Driving by some of those homes where putting all the lights up, some of these people do, that is not an easy chore, but it's a labor that they love doing, and it's
the old Clark Griswold.
Yeah. Well, I think they took all the power.
I'm just impressed. I didn't burn my dad's house down back in the day because I was always the one who put up the Christmas lights outside, and I loved doing that. So I'm sure, and I think I started doing that probably around honest to goodness 12 or 13. And, you know, I was the kid on the ladder doing it all.
It's easier now, though.
It is. But back then, you had all of the incandescent light bulbs, and we always had the C8s, you know, the big ones that you had to test every light and you had to change them. And I had extension cords running from the backyard over the eaves of the house across the roof. Right.
And those things sucked a lot of electricity, and you blow fuses.
I think... Man, Dad, I apologize. I probably ran your electric bill up in December like it was in the summertime, for crying out loud. But you think, how many times did you have one or two or three stringers too many plugged in, and now everybody's got LEDs?
Do you realize everyone downtown at the fire department going, holy crap, don't tell them that.
Yeah, don't.
Because it's be safe. You know?
Well, but Steve LeGros, fire captain, and I, we had a long, good conversation about, you know, making sure that you're not overstressing the number of amps that you're plugging in. And the old light stringers used to say, hey, don't plug in more than three.
Three is it. Yeah, exactly right. The old ones were three.
And now the LED ones, I mean, some of them
say, more than 20.
Yeah, 15 to 20.
Yeah.
Anything, okay, much safer. Get rid of some of the old ones that you don't know where they frayed.
They last longer. They don't burn out.
Yeah. Which is both good and bad. You know, I mean, you look at some of these now, you got to put them away neatly. You know, the ones that didn't last, you know, you threw them away more often and you didn't have to worry about it.
Well, they dried out.
But holy crud, the amount of extension cords. It's funny. I bet we had 25 or 30 big orange extension cords.
When I had my house built in Mesa del Sol, we put electric outlets all on the roof.
Before, that was a standard option.
It was? No, it is now.
Yeah, a lot of builders, you can get the outlets as an option on a switch.
Wow. Yeah. No, I had a bunch of them up on the roof, knowing I'd be up there plugging in lights.
Mm-hmm. Were they switched, or were they just hot all the time?
Just on. But they were outdoor ones. They were made for the outdoors.
Okay.
So we just had them all over the place.
So did you enjoy getting up on the second story of your roof?
I did.
Okay.
I did. Yeah. Well, because of the kids. The kids would come, and they'd... You know, they'd help out and all that kind of stuff. You know, once the kids left, I don't think so this year. And then my wife reminded me that I was going to.
You will be decorating for Christmas. You know, that was one of the fun things in our two-story house, having the boys they loved getting on the roof. Yeah. And they didn't really care if the lights were up. They just wanted the excuse to go walking around the roof and playing around.
Because it wasn't a space that was very much on limits most of the time.
Correct. Well, get off the tile roof for crying out loud. Yeah. Quit walking. Yeah. But loved doing that. And so, again, I've never noticed the electric bills going up that much because we've always had the LEDs.
Right.
But I would worry. Did your electric bill go up considerably?
I don't know. I didn't pay him. My wife did.
Okay. I say, I'm pretty sure you paid him or you'd be in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't me that saw them, though.
So, you know, you look around and there's things that we can do to appreciate the season. There's things that we need to appreciate about our community, about the people that serve us. You know, even Russ, sometimes you're the biggest sarcastic jackwagon I've ever known, but I appreciate the show that you do. And, you know, you color things in a very neutral way. You know,
I tried to.
I think I know which way you lean.
I lean right. I'm a conservative.
But you generally...
I want to understand who I'm talking to, everyone. And to do that, you need to understand the whole deck.
I appreciate you having that ability, and I love the ability that we have on air to do these things, because there's a group of men and women who serve that you're going to be laying wreaths for...
That's a wonderful morning, and it's just a uplifting and great, and you don't lose touch that way with what we really have and what we could lose and what we paid to get it.
And I think we need to, from a gratitude perspective for me, we need to pay attention to the men and women who have served, are serving. There's a lot of them that will not be home with their families, whether they're overseas or just at a different duty station here in country.
I haven't seen my son in 5 years.
Well, that's because he doesn't want to come home to see you.
Telling me I'm not allowed to go see the. You know.
But he's over in Japan.
Yeah, now he's moving now to Sicily.
So
I don't know when that happens, but it's going to happen soon.
But I appreciate his service and his willing to be separated from the family. For serving the country, and you think how many of us need to just simply say thank you. You don't got to go buy a gift, although you know buying somebody's coffee, treating them to lunch is super cool as well. Just be appreciative and realize that while we're driving and we're bugged because the traffic sucks, you know, we're pissed because we're seventh in line at the coffee shop drive-through.
Oh, no.
Be grateful that A, we live in the United States. B, it's really the greatest time in history. And there's a group of men and women who are willing to pay the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf.
And being pissed doesn't make the line go faster, I found out.
No, it really doesn't.
So you might as well smile and enjoy yourself.
Turn the Christmas music on. Get the DVD players out. For everybody, if you ever see Russ riding around, get the DVD player out, play It's a Wonderful Life, and let him listen to the soundtrack.
I've heard it.
You know, and you just stop and realize, okay, we're going to have a couple of extra days off this month.
It'll happen.
But there's also people who won't. There's nurses, there's police, there's firemen, there's border patrol agents, there's a lot of first responders that are going to be working Christmas Eve, Christmas Day.
And if Christmas is on a weekday, I always work the station. I just do. I love what I do, but doing it during the holidays is even more special.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's because nobody else shows up and you get to
be
by yourself.
Well, nobody's listening. I can say whatever the hell I want.
That is true. That is true. Wait a minute. Do you have one of those 5-second pause buttons over here?
Oh, not on your side.
Okay. Man, I don't even get a cough button on this side. You know, again, so as driving around when you're looking at the Christmas lights, I love that. And I'm going to throw the kids in the car and we're going to go driving around and we're going to annoy them and tell them to put their phones away and put them in their pockets.
I just got a note from Kevin that there's a meeting of the Board of Supervisors live on Facebook right now.
Well, then why are you listening to us? You should be listening to
this. This is
not
a Board of Supervisors meeting day, so this has to be something special.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it something special? Is it something emergency? Is it something commemorative?
It's going to have to be an emergency because the whole time, I was on the board for 4 years, and I never had a Friday meeting, so
well,
it has to be
I would
something.
Love to know what that is. So
well,
tell
a couple minutes, you'll know.
Well, while we have 2 minutes left in the show, tell Kevin he better be texting play-by-play. He can be the Howard Cosell texting us play by play as we pay attention.
Oh, it's a legislative roundtable. Now those are common.
Okay.
But wow, right before Christmas, that's all right.
Hey, they got to work too.
Yeah.
So, you know, and again, I appreciate your show. I appreciate the things we get to do in the community. I appreciate the fact that we live in a community that we can put up a Christmas light tower and celebrate with one another. I appreciate the fact that we're not under 8 inches of snow right now.
Darn right. It's just a little cool. We can live with it.
So, you know, as we wrap up, and I know we're almost out of time. I don't know how much time we have, but...
You got like 2 minutes, but we got time to play music if you want.
Oh, well, no. I want to say thank you to everybody who makes Yuma really what I believe is the greatest community to live in the country. It's that small town feel where you can still reach out to people. You can still have mentors and friends and go to lunch, and it doesn't take you 2 hours to get across town. And people are still willing to help. And when we were at the tower lighting, do you know it was about 1,200 pounds of food that was raised at the tower lighting?
I did not know it was that much. That's good. That's a good number.
Same type of thing with the balloon festival. You know, the balloon festival had a good balloon festival. We didn't get all the balloons up this year, but raised over 1,000 pounds of food for the organizations that need it. And, you know, the community coming out and being willing to bring food during the holidays when they're spending their hard-earned money.
15 seconds.
So from all of us at Academy Mortgage and all of us here at KBLU, have a very safe and Merry Christmas, and may God bless your family this season.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.